As we continue, brothers and sisters, let's lift this time before the Lord. Lord, I am thankful. We are so blessed how you invite us into your presence. You call us and our hearts respond. And Lord, there is such a unity and a oneness that we share in our time of worship and our time of fellowship with you and with each other. Lord, we give you glory. We want to be pleasing to you. Lord, we ask that you would lead us in the pathway that you have laid for us. In your precious name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, I know it's not a surprise to you. I have felt that the Lord has been speaking to me to share with regard to life and having life and having life more abundantly. Having life abundantly. And again, just as reminding and a brief background, that I felt as though the Lord has given me a word out of the first verses of Joshua that having to do with wherever their foot would trod would be theirs, would be in the that they would be taking the promised land, and wherever their foot went trod, they were it was theirs, it was God's. And I saw in the crossing of the Jordan River, one of the first things that happened, first events that happened, was the children of Israel were entering into the promised land, and the Lord is our promised land. He is the promised land then, and he is the promised land now. That entry, that crossing of the Jordan River, that entering into the Lord as the promised land, not just as our king and ruler, but the one who we are in, we are embraced, we are included in the beloved, saw that as the crossing of the Jordan spiritually, as the passing from Romans 7 to Romans 8, as the Apostle Paul describes it. And I'd like to take a moment this morning to share a few things that I see as helpful in grasping what the Lord is telling us, what the Lord has done. And so I want to read out of Romans chapter 8. We've just come from the inability to perform, to get away from sin, to not do what we don't, to not sin against the Lord. And Paul says in chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And I'm going to stop there. There's a lot more to be said, a lot more that's there. But I wanted to stop there because Paul had raised the question, well, what is this putting your foot What was Israel's putting their foot? What is that in the, and I don't know that you asked it specifically as in the New Testament, but I think it's right here in this verse, chapter, verse 4. Walking according to the Spirit is them, is the equivalent of, or is the is pictured by Israel putting its foot, putting their foot, going forth, following the Lord, crossing the Jordan, making taking the stones for a remembrance, circumcising, being circumcised, celebrating the Passover, conquering Jericho, taking Ai. They walked and they claimed the land that was Jesus to them. This is the promised land, the place where everything had changed. They were no longer wandering in the wilderness. The manna had would stop. They were following the ark, not the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They were entering into God's land, and things had changed. Now, to help us to see this and to walk in that, I believe tried to share, and these stories, and they're not stories, this history of Israel entering into the promised land and what the Lord was showing them, how the Lord walked with them, how the Lord treated them in the promised land that was different from the wandering in the wilderness, was different from being in Egypt, and as pictured by conquering Jericho and taking and conquering Ai. Well, in the New Testament, I see two examples. There are many, I'm sure, but two particular examples. And one is the Apostle Peter. Now, there's a lot about Peter in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, and then he writes two epistles. And Peter is a man who the Lord has used to show his insides. what kind of person he was, how he acted, what he did, how he was changed. And as the Lord spoke to him, his first words to him, you will become Cephas. And, he was going to become a rock. He was just nothing but sand, and he was going to become a rock. Anyway, the story goes in the book of Acts, and I'm not going to read it. I think you all are familiar with it. But Peter goes Peter was raised a Jew. He was a good Jewish man. I don't know that he was particularly religious before he met the Lord Jesus, but he certainly knew the law and he walked according to it. And he knew what was right and wrong according to the law and according to what they had been trained and taught. And so he bumps into a lot of things with the Lord Jesus. And he's also a man. And so he reacts as a man when the Lord says, I'm going to be crucified, that I'm going up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, no way. This cannot happen to you. You're the king. You're the Messiah. This is not going to go. Well, that was Peter's flesh talking, just as our flesh talks often. And anyway, moving into the book of Acts, so much has happened to Peter. And he has seen so many things, miraculous things. He has spoken, and thousands have been saved. And he participated. He was there when the Holy Spirit fell and came upon the and the church began. Well, later on, he is following the Lord. He's walking according to the way the Lord is leading him. And he comes to the house of Simon the Tanner, who is in
Joppa.
That's what I was going to say, Joppa, but suddenly it seemed wrong. By the sea. And there's a lot that this was not necessarily a place that Peter would have been or been comfortable in, being in the house of a tanner. This is not not very kosher, exactly. And so he's up on the roof. He's up on the roof praying, and he the story. He's hungry, and he asks if they could prepare him something to eat. And he's praying, and a sheet comes down out of heaven, and in it are all these animals and clean or unclean animals. And the Lord says to him, "Peter, kill and eat." And certainly not, Lord. His walking in the flesh, his flesh responded as the way he'd been trained. I'm not going to do that. No, that's not right. Something's wrong here. Well, of course, the Lord was showing him, and he proved to him. He showed this three times, and immediately he is called to go, and the Lord says, "I want you to go with these men that are coming," and they go to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who loves the Lord, and he wants to know. He has been told to call on Peter and to send somebody for him, and Peter is willing to go because the Lord has demonstrated to him, "I want you to go. I don't care what you think you know about holiness and righteousness. I'm telling you, this is clean, even though the law says otherwise." So he goes, and the Holy Spirit falls, and he's just amazed. And people that are with him, the brothers that are with him, they're amazed. The Holy Spirit had fallen on Gentiles. Okay. So Peter has seen this. Well, another event occurs, and Peter is rejoicing, I guess, enjoying the fellowship with the Gentile believers. And in Galatians, Paul relates, they're in Antioch, and this is Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. "But when Cephas," Paul is speaking here, "when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" I don't know that I need to read the rest of this. Well, go on in verse 16. "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, but that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." Peter stumbled. I don't think he, it's not clear what was going on in his heart, but it was very clear what Paul saw. And Paul saw that Peter, although he'd seen the sheet come down out of heaven, he had seen the Holy Spirit fall on the Gentile believers at Cornelius' house. He had embraced the Gentile believers and was eating with them and treating them as God would have him treat them. And suddenly, he finds himself feeling twisted by his training, by his upbringing, by his being a Jew, and conflicted. He was walking according to the flesh suddenly. He had been walking according to the Spirit. And what happened? What did God do? Peter needed to know. Peter needed to be touched. Peter needed to enter into Christ more fully. And the Apostle Paul was there. And he said, Peter, what are you doing? And, you know, I tend to look at the Apostle Paul as a kind of a harsh guy, and I suppose he might have been. But the fact is, it's not a matter of harshness that he confronted Peter. He was doing the Lord's will. He was causing Peter to realize that, wait a minute, I'm not walking according to what God has shown me. I need to turn. I need to embrace my brothers and sisters who are not Jews. And so we have a picture. We have a New Testament picture. We have a New Testament example, a New Testament history of what it means to walk in the flesh, what it means to walk in the Spirit. As we live our lives, the Lord will deal with these things that are not of Him. He wants us. A life and life abundant comes from walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking as God leads us, as He shows us, as He speaks to us, through His Word, through people, through our brothers and sisters, through the testimonies of Jesus that are among us. Another example, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was certainly an amazing convert to the Lord. He lived the Christian life. He is, some would say, the full example of walking in Christ. And yet, the Apostle Paul struggled, and that, take heart when you struggle. I take heart because of these brothers who have been, the Lord has dissected and opened up before us in the Word. The example I wanted to use from the Apostle Paul, and this is a little bit different as I looked at it. This is the reference in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians about God always leading us in His triumph. But I want to set the scene here out of the book of Acts. In the book of Acts chapter 16, Paul is on one of his missionary journeys, and I haven't really delved into it. I'm not sure which one particularly it was by number, but in any event, he comes and in chapter 16 of Acts, verse 6, and they pass through, this is, of course, Luke writing this book, they pass through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a certain man of Macedonia standing and appealing to him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And don't need to read the rest of that. They go, this is the story of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas going to Macedonia and eventually to Philippi, the Philippian jailer. Lydia, the seller of purple, is saved. And the Lord is at work, you know, through the hand and body of the Apostle Paul as he walked according to the Spirit. But what was going on inside Paul is what we see, get a glimpse of in 2 Corinthians. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul has been relating. He has written to, he's been to Corinth. He has written to the Corinthians. They have had their struggles spiritually and the struggles in the flesh, struggles in the spirit. And he wrote to them and he was afraid. He tells us that he was afraid that he had that they were going to be offended and cut themselves, separate themselves from him. And we have here in verse 12 of chapter 2, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened to me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother." Because Titus had been sent to find out what was going on in Corinth. He wanted to know, had they heard what he said? Had they embraced what he said? Had they repented and turned and come into line of the way the Spirit was leading them? And he was desperate to know. So he's waiting on Titus, but here he is in Troas. He's just been, according to Acts, he's just been told by the Spirit that he can't speak the word in Asia. He can't go to Bithynia and preach, but he's being called to Macedonia. And so he was going. But what he says here is, "But I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God." Well, let me stop there. Paul is struggling in his heart, in his mind, in his emotions, in his care for the Corinthians. He desperately wants to know what's happened. And he doesn't. He's in the dark, as it were, in that regard. He doesn't know, and he's waiting on Titus. And it says, "I had no rest for my spirit." He is struggling. Part of his struggle, and I say this without condemnation, because surely I am condemned as well if that is the case. The Apostle Paul was not trusting that God had this in his hand. Right at that moment, he did not. And that's just like us, isn't it? We struggle to understand what it is that the Lord has done or is doing or is going to do, what it appears is going to happen. He didn't know. He wanted to know. He continues on. I mean, Acts tells us he continues on. He did follow what the Lord told him to do. What is his leading right now? I'm leading you. You're walking in the Spirit. He was listening and he was walking in the Spirit, but in his heart, he was struggling because he was concerned about the Corinthians. And he came to realize, and he shares this with the Corinthians, but thanks be, verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, in his triumph in Christ, and manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And I'm not going to read this, the rest of it, aroma, the death to death, life to life. I have trouble sorting that out. But the point here is, Paul realizes that God does have it in control, that he is always leading us in his triumph, that there is, therefore, now no condemnation. There is no condemnation. There is nothing to separate us from the Lord Jesus. There is nothing that we cannot do in him that he has not made the way for. And even if we falter, even if we don't see it, he still is leading us in his triumph. He was leading the Apostle Paul. He is leading you and I. And it may be, and it is, that being led in his triumph, we are being this fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are being perishing. Our very presence, as we are led by the Lord Jesus, causes him to be seen, him to be smelled, people to be, that those who are brothers and sisters are aware of his presence because of us, just as, you know, when we, did you smell him this morning? I did. You know, he was here with us. We were sharing him. And his sweet presence of life to life was going out, was here. And where does it go from here? I don't know, but he's taking it. It goes with us. The Lord goes with us. The Lord is being manifested. His testimony is going forward. And so just as the Apostle Paul, when we become discouraged, when we become fretful over things, we need to keep walking. We need to keep putting our feet in the promised land. Wherever we trod, the Lord goes with us, and he has his way. So we can trust him. The word is full of how he leads and how he has guided and how, you know, these are things that are not to be made a law of. We are to walk in him as he leads us, not by obligation or condemnation. We are to trust him, and he is worthy, and he has made us righteous, despite all evidence to the contrary. Lord, we do thank you, and we ask you to open this to us, that we might see, that we might be able to recognize life as we see it, that we might be able to walk in that life, that we might have it in greater and greater amount, or that we might have life and have it abundantly. Lord, help us to see you. Help us to embrace you, that we can't make a fragrance of our own, but you can be a fragrance through us. Lord, help us to trust you for that. Help us to place our feet where you would have us go as we walk in you, as he says in Romans, as we walk in life by the Spirit. In your precious name, Lord, I pray. Amen.